66% of men lose their hair by age 35. The thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? Any bald spots yet? How will you feel a year from now if it's business as usual up there? I ask you, do you want the bald spot to pop up? Or do you want to do something about it first? Do you want your hairline to recede? Or do you want to do something about it first? Why do guys turn to weird solutions or just do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? The solution? 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and other wellness supplements for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. Answer a few quick questions. Doctor will review and can prescribe you. Products are shipped directly to your door. Order now. Listeners to the Fantasy Focus Baseball get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/FFB. That's FORHIMS.com/FFB. 4hims.com/FFB.
It was National Bowling Day on Saturday.
Hey,
and
you bowled a perfect
challenge.
Game. Didn't you tell me you bowled a perfect game once?
Nah, bro, stat. Two perfect games.
It's a little weird to call.
What? It's my brother.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, August 13th, I think. I am Eric. He is Tristan. Sitting next to me in bucolic Bristol, Connecticut, is the editorial watchdog. There's no other like him, Leo Howe. And behind that glass, I just met him for the first time about 30 seconds ago, Anthony Calatayud. Hello, all. How are we today?
Excellent.
Bristol's really bucolic.
It is the epitome of bucolic today.
Yeah, it's going to rain any second.
Is it partly cloudy, mostly cloudy, or extra
cloudy? A lot of clouds.
It is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. OPS cloudy. It is over 100%.
That's out of control. We got to do something about that.
That says something, huh?
Wow. Yeah.
All right, well, I've been off for a while, and I kind of still feel like I am. So we're going to talk about baseball from the weekend, Tristan, and if you talked about it on your last show, well, just tell me I'm wrong. A little bit later on, I'll read some hash browns when I find them, but we're going to start with the buzz. All right, and I feel like the biggest story actually is about a closer, so we're going to go back-to-back with some sounds. Here's the carousel.
The closer carousel.
All right, so Dodgers closer Kenley Jansen on the disabled list for an irregular heart condition, which can be serious. I mean, you kind of need your heart. A little different than an elbow or a knee or a shoulder or the normal injuries that we deal with here on the Fantasy Show. And the Dodgers obviously had some bullpen issues without Jansen this weekend as they lost all their games. And they're doing something interesting here, and I wrote about it in my blog today, and I want to see what you think because maybe I'm wrong. But putting Kenta Maeda and Ross Stripling in the bullpen, Tristan, even if it's only for a couple of weeks, or maybe the Dodgers think it's going to be for all the weeks, Stripling's the number 21 starting pitcher on the player rating for the season. Maeda has had periods of much relevance as well. Who gets the next Dodgers save?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Why I'm here, just to ask the questions.
And of course, we talked about all this all weekend, because, you know, I totally saw this coming. No, not. I like the move of Maeda, and you know what? I want to say that Maeda is getting the next save chance. I think that this really was done with the idea that Maeda would close for them. I think Stripling's providing them depth. I think they want Scott Alexander to serve in a situational capacity instead of closing games. So if I'm putting my investment into save somewhere, it's going to be Mr. Maeda. How about you?
I think Maeda and Alexander. I mean, Alexander started the save chance on Saturday. Put a couple men on base, and then Ryan McMahon hit a home run off a right-hander in Chargois. So I think Alexander might still be involved. But, you know, I also think Maeda and Stripling could be starters again really soon. I mean, Alex Wood and Hyunjin Ryu are coming off the DL to start this week. They're not exactly pictures of health, those two lefties. So it could be certainly possible that, you know, the Dodgers are just kind of doing whatever they can to get through. The Dodgers are no lock to make the playoffs. And if you've rostered Jansen, are you really concerned here? Are you thinking, what if he doesn't come back? I can't make any case to drop him in any type of league, but I mean, this could take longer. I mean, this is a serious thing.
It's absolutely that. And I mean, you know, for him, it's much more important than baseball that, you know, we get this all right. It's not the first time that this has come up for him either. So it's a serious issue. I don't think this is something we could project. The last time he went on the deal with a similar situation to this, it was 2011, and he missed just shy of 1 month. The hope would be that he comes back in a month and he can contribute to the Dodgers in the month of September as they try to fight it out for a playoff spot. I have shares of him. I did believe in buying him because I thought that he last year put up numbers that suggested he could even improve this season, that he'd be unquestionably the number one closer. So I'm stashing him on the DL spot, but I'm concerned. I mean, there's a very realistic possibility that we don't see him pitch again this season.
All right, other closing situations. Wow, what happened on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN was fantastic.
Yep.
I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm not, certainly not. I'm certainly not a Nationals fan as a Phillies fan. But I did not want to see it. I don't want to see it. Anytime the Nationals win and the Phillies lose on the same day, I think it's only a matter of time before the Nationals take over the division lead. But they've got some bullpen issues. With Doolittle on the DL, Kelvin Herrera joined him over the weekend, and I fully expect Ryan Madsen to be on the disabled list by the time people listen to this show or before games start tonight. Clearly something's wrong with him. After the game, he didn't keep his mouth shut. He said he has a back problem. Why was he in the game? Anyway, gives up a grand slam, walk-off grand slam to David Bodie, and I saw on Twitter, like, you know, either it's like last time this happened was 100 years ago, or it's really rare. Like a walk-off grand slam down 3-0, two outs in the ninth, two strikes. What did Nationals do for their next save?
It was absolutely awesome, that game.
I'm not even a Cubs. Neither of us are Cubs fans, and we're like,
was
so happy.
But it was such great baseball. I mean, that's high drama there.
Knew it as soon as he swung, too.
I mean, and you know what? The minute that I heard the winning run is coming to the plate, I'm like, this is going to get interesting. I didn't think that a grand slam was coming there, but I thought this game is going to get very interesting, and we'd be talking about the Nationals' closer situation. He's fresh off the DL, but I think the monster, Coda Glover.
Wow, because he was the setup man. He was the top setup man, and he doesn't look all that good himself. He put men on base in the eighth inning and escaped with it without, you know, giving up any runs, but Glover is actually getting the next save chance for the Nationals. Doolittle could return this month, I guess.
Yep.
Or this week. Who knows? Nobody tells the truth anymore.
It's big questions about that bullpen, and I think because the team is competitive, there's going to be a healthy number of saves, so we've got to invest in somebody. And I feel like he's the closest thing to a safe pick because the velocity is still there, and that's something that he's been relying on very well for success. To your point, he didn't pitch that great yesterday, but he's a lot more interesting than a lot that's out there in the league.
All right, other situations. Fernando Rodney got traded to Oakland, where he will not be getting saves. You and I tweeted right after that trade different things. I tweeted that I thought, I don't know why I was tweeting on my vacation, Trevor Hildenberger would be the guy getting saves, and you tweeted that it was going to be Rick Aguilera, and I was clearly right because people are like, who is Rick? Like the 25-year-olds listening to the show right now are thinking, who is Rick Aguilera?
Oh, man.
Actually, you tweeted it was Addison Reed. The reason I didn't think it would Reed's having a terrible season, and he's been used in like the fifth or sixth inning of late.
Yep.
So if you have to pick up one of these guys, or do you not even bother?
Yeah, I'd want to pick up any of these guys, which was sort of what I was getting at here. I mean, and congratulations for your one right day. Hildenberger's pitched horribly lately. No, I mean, look, I know exactly where you're getting at here. I mean, Hildenberger has been the setup man and deserves to get an opportunity just based on the entirety of the year. But he has pitched truly horribly over the past 3 weeks. And my concern there is that that's going to open things up to a lot of different options. The guy that would be very interesting, and a couple of Twins fans did tweet this out at me afterwards, was Taylor Rogers. He's had a pretty good year. And if you want to go with the guy who's earned it.
I think maybe Trevor May could be involved in this.
Yeah, and that's the thing I tweeted on, is that the one that I'd like to see get an opportunity because he has the stuff for it is Trevor May. But who's it going to be? I don't want any of them
right now.
I mean, we got to wait and see how it plays out.
Would you rather roster
Hildenberger? Why Hildenberger?
Because he got the first save. That's usually how managers
think. He pitched horribly.
That doesn't seem to matter most of the time. Who do you think gets the next Houston save? Would you rather roster Osuna or Hildenberger?
Osuna.
Do you think he's getting saves?
Not like he's pitched well either.
He lost yesterday's game where Rendon blew the save.
Yeah, I know. They both pitched poorly, but before that, Osuna had put together three pretty good outings. I think it's still Rondon. It's just I think Osuna's a much better pitcher than Hildenberger.
Oh, I wouldn't argue that. All right.
Hildenberger's given up two runs or more in four straight outings. Jeez.
Is that bad?
No, it's actually quite good.
I think that's a good
He thing. Had a dirty Fuentes.
If you're going nine innings, giving up two runs every outing.
Yeah, I'll take
bad.
That. You know?
Good point. Yeah.
He's a Nick Pivetta manager. Wade Davis, quite an August for him. Blown save and a loss. Blown save and a loss. Save, loss, win. I would roster Adam Ottavino right now. I really think something's wrong with Wade Davis, other than bad pitching. All right, that's a lot of closer talk. We ever done that? That's just leading with a closer. Why not lead with a closer? There's no rules, Leo.
There's one
we can do
bullpen.
Whatever we want, right?
I'm surprised you didn't mention one of their bullpen. Very surprised.
All right.
Milwaukee.
I still think it's Knable. I think Hader got that save because Knable's been bad. But then Knable pitched, like a sixth or seventh inning on Sunday? Jeffress, I suppose, is involved. I think if Knable blows his next save, Jeffress is the closer. And Hader goes back to his role of an occasional save, but generally seventh, eighth inning work.
I think it's Jeffress and Hader looking like the Allen and Hand situation in Cleveland.
And by the way, don't invest in closers in keeper leagues. Just don't do it.
Of course not. Yeah.
Look what's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, we all thought Corey Knebel was a top five closer. He's clearly not. Jansen's got some issues. Craig Kimbrel, by the way, is giving up something every time he pitches now.
Aroldis Chapman's not looking right either.
What a joke he is. I mean, that last outing, I was hoping he'd give up runs.
You want the numbers?
No, I know they're bad.
No, I mean, in terms of the keeper aspect.
No, I guess Jansen, Kimbrel, that's about it for keeper leagues.
But in terms of why you shouldn't do it, the 26 closers who went in the draftable range in ESPN leagues this year, top 250 in terms of the ADP, 18 of those have placed in the top 250 on the player radar so far. However, four of those in that group have been traded out of closer jobs since then, so they're not going to finish in there, most likely. Four of those other guys are on the DL, so they're not even contributing right now, and then there's Brad Hand. So we're looking at less than 10 that are really turning the investment in. It's a precarious situation year over year. And we say that every year.
All right, nothing what's the word you just used? Precarious. Why can't I say that word?
I can't sing any Blues Traveler.
Nothing
I'm sorry.
Precarious. Nothing precarious about hitting a home run and stealing a base in the same game. Let's listen to the sound of some combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal!
One of these names is made up. Who is that? I was on vacation. Who is the guy? You know which name I'm looking at.
I do.
Tell us all you know about Danny Mendick.
He's on Kyle's note.
Yeah, I mean, who is that?
I'm being honest. I don't know who that is. I really
Did
don't know
make
who
that
name
is. Up? Wait a second.
Now, yeah, I mean,
I'm doing a show on my phone, so let me look it up. Leo, tell me you know who Danny Mendick is.
Nope.
I've never heard of him.
Nope. Don't know.
Did he really get a combo meal? Yeah, here he is. Okay, I found his page.
Who is he?
He play. Oh, yeah, we saw him the fall league last year. Right. Oh, I don't know him at all.
I did a search here, and I can't even find him. Tell us all about him that you know. Where's he batting in the lineup today? What team's he on?
Well, he's a White Sox prospect, if I'm not mistaken, and the shortstop. But he's not even in the majors; he's in Double A.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think there might have been some research wires crossed here because it does not appear that Danny Mendick got that in the major leagues. He may have got that.
All right, so basically, Kyle, who's in absentia because football is more important, is basically just playing around with us, and now we actually have to pay attention to these.
Actually, the formula that's used in that Combo Meal Twitter account does occasionally pull in the minor league ones. There, can we get a Vlad Guerrero combo meal? That would
say,
be much more awesome.
He's a walking combo meal if
homers,
if walks,
homers.
If walks were the thing instead of steals.
I'm going to look and see if Mendick actually had a combo meal in Double A.
Well, while you do that, I will read who actually had the major league combo meals according to. Again, this is according to Kyle. It could be all wrong. Cody Bellinger, Xander Bogaerts, Austin Romine, Austin Hedges, Austin Puig. Oh wait, Yasiel Puig. And on Sunday, Phillies killer Freddie Galvis, angry that the team traded away for a Double A pitcher and went with a guy in Scott Kingery. He's been awful.
I can confirm that
he did.
He did have a minor league combo meal for
good
the
for Danny Mendick.
Birmingham Barons.
That's Michael Jordan's team, right?
Yeah, he did it against the Montgomery Biscuits with the weirdest little logo. the Dancing Biscuit. Right
now. Proud member of the Rays organization.
Any of these players who I just mentioned, major leaguers, interest you at all? I mean, Bellinger, Bogaerts owned in every rostered in every league. So is Puig. Although it's nice to see Puig running again. Can't make any case for Freddie Galvis, of course,
nope.
Or any of the either of the Austins. I guess Austin Hedges in a catcher league. I'm going to mention a catcher later on that I think could be a top 10 catcher the rest of the season that nobody rosters.
Good to see the Dodgers contributing like that. The two catchers warrant the mention, the two Austins, just because of how awful that position is. But I don't see either one as being, you know, frontline material. So in our standard game, they're a no.
Briefly on injuries here, Mike Trout on the disabled list, although they say he could come back Thursday, and they never lie. Carlos Correa came back for Houston. Altuve and Springer could be following later this week. I do not activate Springer or Altuve in a weekly league this week, right?
It is an awful schedule for the Astros. They graded the worst of any team from the weekly.
Which is amazing, you know, because, like, you think, if I have a good Astro, like Alex Bregman, I couldn't believe you even had him on the list of possible sits.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously going to play him just because of who he is and what he's contributed this
you're
year.
Saying don't. Because they have a five-game schedule.
No, I said he's one of the few I'd make the exception for. There were three Astros I put on the A-OK in our standard 10-team mixed.
What do we learn from the Logan Morrison season in a general sense? He had 38 home runs last season. That was top 10 in baseball. He went to a team where he was going to play every day. Now, I'm not saying we should have loved Logan Morrison for the season. This season is over. He's having hip surgery. But did we learn anything from that? Because he, there were other guys who had surprise home run seasons that they were, Justin Smoke's doing just fine. Yonder Alonso's fine, not the same, but fine. So what have we learned out of Logan Morrison, if anything?
Don't chase homer to fly ball rate.
So you think that you could have seen this coming?
Yep.
And batting sub 200?
Did.
You thought he was going to bat under 200?
No, but I did see a regression coming.
Oh, well, I mean, I would have projected like 23 to 25 home runs and 240.
I don't want to dig up the archives. I don't. We debated Morrison in the preseason. I thought he'd regress. I did not think it would be this bad.
Right.
In terms of what we've learned in this case is guys who have extreme flying ball rates as well, when they regress in that homer to fly ball category, it gets pretty ugly.
Is there anybody right now who we can say, like, that home run to fly ball is just outrageous and they could be the next year's Logan Morrison? Leo's fingers moving here as he's trying to figure it out. I mean, I'm just wondering, like, how do we learn from this? I mean, this is fantasy baseball. We need to learn from our mistakes. And I'm not saying we made a mistake on Morrison, but even projecting 25 home runs and batting 240 was obviously a mistake. He didn't even come close to that.
Candidates based on extreme. I'm going not only just the homer to fly ball rate, but the extreme in terms of fly balls is Jesus Aguilar.
But I mean, love him.
I do too.
I don't want
I do too. And I don't want to criticize the guy. I was a big fan of him in the preseason, and I'm really mad at myself I didn't take out more shares there. But he does have that sort of package that could regress in a pretty severe way. I like the guy as well. Matt Carpenter has a very extreme split between these two. These are all guys who are over 20 in terms of the homer to fly ball rate using the Fangraphs data and also have a much higher fly ball rate than the ground ball rate. Let's see, a couple others. Eugenio Suarez, it's not extreme,
but he's having such a good year, too.
I know. I guess
Morrison was last year. See, the difference in these guys and Morrison is, like, we knew what Morrison's career was. But, like, Eugenio Suarez, I mean, and Aguilar, they're right-handed. Isn't that different? Is it different when you're batting left-handed and right-handed because of shifts?
It could be, yes. That's going to definitely damage the hitter's numbers more by being left-handed than right-handed, just because it's tougher to shift against the righties. But let me actually lower the qualification. Actually, you know what? Max Muncy.
That's an obvious one. Max Muncy is Morrison next year. He's already Morrison now.
But I do think there is a path to these guys being relevant next year. It's that you need to apply the appropriate level of regression. And those who were chasing Morrison's 38 homers from a year ago were kidding themselves.
Is Muncy Morrison, or is Muncy more Ryan Schimpf at this point?
Oh, no. That's historic, Schimpf has done.
Yeah, it's not quite. I mean, that was a 60% fly ball rate, if I remember.
And
it was
a million
46
strikeouts
for Muncy.
I don't want to think that Muncy is going to do what Morrison. I think more like Alonso. He'll just step back, but not like step back to that degree.
Worry about Muncy compared to Alonso, since you mentioned that, is that Alonso locked into a regular job, so we knew what his situation was. I don't think we're going to get a read on Muncy's situation until spring training, which is
Muncy's
tough.
Probably Detroit's starting first baseman next year or something like that. He moves on. They trade him away. I mean, Detroit ends up with Muncy or Justin Bour at first base next year. You know, Justin Bour ended up getting traded to the Phillies this weekend. And I've got him in a league, and I thought, well, that's not good because he's never going to play. He's going to be a pinch hitter only. They're never going to sit Carlos Santana. Even though Bourne and Santana have pretty similar numbers, there's just no talk of that. And Miami will go with Derek Dietrich every day.
I'll ask you this. Would you rather have Bohr or Rodney at this point?
Fernando Rodney?
Yeah.
Neither. Neither are going to matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Bohr's
it's a shame that both
play.
Are definite cuts.
We're going to be talking about Bohr when the Phillies have their road series in Toronto because he'll be the DH. But that's about it. They're not going to play Carlos Santana at catcher, third base, or right field. They're just not going to do it.
Right.
So that's it for Justin Bohr.
It's a very good move for the Phillies from a competitive standpoint to deepen their bench, but he's...
Dump Rodney, dump Bohr, and pick up Danny Jansen.
I love it.
I picked him up in a head-to-head league for this week as my only catcher. Mm-hmm. I've been playing like streaming catchers. I had Gary Sanchez. I finally dumped him. I had Cervelli last week. I dumped him because I don't know if he's going to play. I had Yan Gomes. Now I've got Danny Jansen based on no at-bats in the majors. Is that just wrong?
This is the risk with Danny Jansen is the extreme learning curve having to adapt the defensive adjustment in the majors to your offense and what it takes away from that player. So the reason we see a lot of catchers taking longer than other positions to develop with the bat is just that. I think it's tougher for a catcher based on what they have to do handling a pitching staff. That said, this guy's got a great hit tool and he does have a decent amount of pop. I like this as a speculative pickup. They're going to play him a lot.
He could be a top 10 catcher the rest of the season. I'm not saying he will be. He could be, but because there's only like three or four, maybe five that you have to roster in every league.
Right.
And after that, you're like, I think I have ranked like Kurt Suzuki 11. He's been awful.
Right. That's the thing. He could put up the Suzuki like numbers from earlier in the year, or he could put up numbers like Robinson Chirinos with batting average.
Like, I can't even find 10 catchers I want to roster.
Exactly.
I only rank like 8 in my top 300.
Do you know, in my head-to-head league, I've been going without a catcher since Gary Sanchez was on the DL.
So in my head-to-head league this week, the one I care about, I'm like in fourth place, and there's a guy, I'm playing the guy in third place. I looked at his pitching staff. We all have 7 active pitchers. He's using 5 closers.
Okay.
/ relievers. Ottavino's one of them.
Yep.
If you see that, do you counteract that by going with 4 or 5 closers of your own, or do you just do what you normally do, or do you just punt saves and go with no closers?
It would have to depend on what's available out there. So the reference...
There's nothing. The deadline to pick up guys was last night. So
then you've got to win the other categories. You need to win all the saves. Yeah.
I'm not going to win saves. Like, I can sit Cody Allen, who may not get that many saves anyway, and play, I think, Lance Lynn.
Right.
But, I mean, that's basically... I've decided I'm just going to... Like, we have relief pitcher spots, but I've got Derek Rodriguez in one of them. So I'm going to punt saves.
And you should, with one exception. When you have a situation like this in a head-to-head league, very often the matchup on the pitching side gets decided by Tuesday. And if that happens...
One bad outing.
Right. Or you could have 2 or 3 starting pitchers you streamed today who put up great numbers. I've told Eric, you remember the example I had way back when, which had Cameron Lowe throwing like 8 innings of 1-run ball against me in a head-to-head playoff matchup, and the matchup was over as of Monday night. He had 3 or 4 guys out of nowhere. Brandon McCarthy was another through a quality start. You know right then that you've got to go to the other categories. You got to adjust on the fly. So just keep an eye on that. There might be some midweek shuffling where you could steal a point somewhere else.
Monday Night Baseball on ESPN, Jacob DeGrom and Luis Severino. Severino has permitted at least 3 earned runs in 6 consecutive starts. Kyle writes, what's up with that? ? So I'll ask you, what is up with that, Tristan? and not against, like Boston, Tampa, Kansas City, White Sox, half of those opponents.
What's up with that? I watch the guy pitch a lot, and the velocity is still there. The stuff seems off. The command is a question. The concern I have is that I said I thought it was either a mechanical tweak or tipping pitches. This has gone on too long for that. Better outing last time, but it wasn't a cured outing, and it was against a weak offense. This is another weak offense. He's got to step up here. I'm starting him, but I am absolutely concerned. How could you not be?
Tuesday on ESPN Plus, Yolis Chacin of those Brewers and Jose Quintana of the Cubs. And they're very pleased here with Quintana, who is like every other outing is a bad one. I actually sat him in a weekly, our weekly and our office weekly, in which like the three of us are like in the top 5 in the standings. I was like a point behind you last week at this time, and now I'm like 12 back. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You're going to win, and I'm going to finish third. I win my money back.
The standings have been wavering quite a bit over the past few days, so...
All I see is I'm 12 out behind you.
You were, like you said, you were like a half point behind me 3 days ago.
Well, I sat Quintana because I'm tired of this.
I get it.
And Schoenfield's going to win anyway.
Probably going to win anyway. How does he win? He doesn't even play fantasy baseball.
Yeah, he's been dominating. He's been over 100, I think, every day.
I'm not pleased with that. As for Chacin,
he knows what he's doing.
Chacin, well, he's all or nothing, too. 16 of his 34 earned runs since the beginning of June came in two outings. How about that? But since May 1st, here is the list of starting pitchers with more outings of at least five innings and no more than one earned run than Chacin. Sale and Nola. That's it. Chacin has 10. Would you rather roster Chacin than Quintana right now? You could make that case.
Yeah, you could. I want no part of a road Cubs matchup for Chacin. But then again, I mean, Chacin's done this despite the fact that he calls one of the worst environments at home for a pitcher. I mean,
Leo's bored. He just yawned. Now, I don't think this is the first time all season I've done a show in the same studio as Leo. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. And he just yawned. Now, how should I take that? Now, I know you don't listen to a word I say.
Yoli Chacin is a boring pitcher in fantasy. I get it, but
he's bored with the
well.
Show. Leo's just bored with the show. He's like, I could be doing anything else.
I was trying to make excuses
sitting
here.
Sitting in here with Eric, who I don't like, and I'm like, we're doing a show that's, you know, stinks.
I've stopped drinking coffee, so these hours just get real rough for me. Yeah.
I stopped drinking coffee when I was born. Tell me all you know about Felix Pena. Do you know more about Felix Pena of the Angels or Danny Jansen or, you know, Henry Winkler, that minor leaguer from Birmingham?
It's a pretty wide divide going from Jansen to Pena to the Danny dude in the minors.
Felix Pena, I didn't know this. That's why Kyle's so important to the show, even though he's not on it. Pena has quietly allowed three or fewer earned runs in eight of his nine starts this season. How about that? And he's pitching at San Diego. Most pitchers, except for Jake Arrieta, do well at San Diego. See what I did
there's
there?
There's nothing in the scouting package here that just pops right off the page to me, but it's a curve and sinker combo, which means he should be getting more grounders than he does. I like the matchup in that park.
So you would go with Felix Pena on Wednesday on ESPN Plus. How about that?
Why not? Yeah, this is a good situation.
Why not? Because maybe you want to win. Maybe why is because you want to win your league. You're going to win your league if you put Felix Pena active.
There's always the league context that comes into question here, but I'll go right back to the head-to-head.
Never get a straight answer out of this guy.
What do you want me to do? Like it's definitive a yes or a no? It's a light switch question where he's going to start everywhere or not?
In two-team leagues. Must start.
All right, then I'm a no. None of this stuff goes to an absolute yes or absolute no when you're talking about a pitcher like Felix Pena.
I know that. I'm just trying to have fun with you.
I know.
I'm trying to wake up Leo here.
I'll tell you this. I'm starting
to be our watchdog if he's not even watching. All right.
I've just been looking at this Birmingham Montgomery box score because the Barons scored 18 runs on 13 hits.
We're that boring.
How did that happen?
We are that boring that you're looking at double A box scores.
Yeah, 11 walks, 7 strikeouts, and 7 home runs allowed by the Biscuits.
Did Tyler Chawa pitch in that game?
No, it's the Rays double A, so it's all guys who will somehow get promoted and be great as one inning openers and closers.
You better watch out, or Kyle's gonna pop in here again like he did on Thursday.
No, he's busy for hours. Football takes hours.
Oh, he carved out some time to come in here.
Baseball takes 38 minutes. Football takes 4.5 hours. Today's hash browns, okay, Tristan. All right, listen up. Today's hash browns are brought to you by Ballpark Buns. Don't forget that, because if you're not out grilling, someone is out grilling you. That's why you need Ballpark Buns in your lineup. It's like having a number one draft pick at every backyard barbecue. After all, Ballpark hot dog and hamburger buns rank as America's favorite buns, delivering fresh taste and outstanding flavor with every bite. Head over to ballparkbuns.com to see the entire roster, from Ballpark's golden hamburger and hot dog buns baked with a touch of honey to the oversized Tailgaters gourmet hamburger and brat buns that really let you pile on the flavor. Do you need a home run recipe to spark your grilling genius? BallparkBuns.com has got you covered there, too, with recipes for zesty blue cheeseburgers, hearty chili cheese dogs, guacamole turkey burgers, and so much more, and I'm hungry. We've also got a blog full of tips and tricks to level up your grilling game and tailgating talent. Get all this goodness and more, including the Ballpark Buns product finder at BallparkBuns.com. That's BallparkBuns.com, home of America's favorite buns.
I am so hungry for a guacamole turkey burger now.
I have to start this off with a quick hash brown from Leo, because I'm
now he's awake.
Ballpark Buns are a proud sponsor. I'm glad that they're on board. I take offense, and I'm sure as you guys as Northerners, you might disagree with me here. The use of the word barbecue as a noun to describe a collective gathering of people eating grilled food.
Oh no, here we
I'm
go.
I'm fine with that.
I'm not on board with that.
Oh no,
what is the problem?
I didn't know we had one of those.
Yeah, that's a cookout.
Yes. This took my chat down about 10 years ago. This literally, like, took my chat down. That's all that anybody wanted to talk about, was the idea of using the BBQ on grilling in your backyard.
Yeah, no.
And I see your point, Leo, but...
I don't.
Barbecue is a type of meat that is slowly cooked.
It's a style of cooking, yes.
It's a word that can be used in a lot of ways, like meat.
There's this...
barbecue is sacred. It transcends. There are so many other words you could use to describe your backyard gathering.
Okay, what are the words?
Cookout,
Captain Sandwich,
gathering. Like I'll even go for like a, like if you want to like go with like a grill out or something like that. Like there's lots of different things you can say. Barbecue is a special word that describes a very special way to prepare meat.
Party at Leo's tonight.
Leo, you're going to promise us some real barbecue just to prove your point here?
I mean, I don't have a smoker, but there is someone who runs a barbecue joint in their driveway right down the street from me, so we can stop by there first.
Well, I get off TV tonight at 3 a.m., so I'm coming by.
Awesome.
I don't think they're open at that hour, but we can go knock on the door and find out.
By the way, not only is today another glorious Mock Draft Monday, all the Mondays in August for fantasy football, but a little bit later today, the Fantasy Football Marathon begins in earnest on ESPN. 29 hours worth of fantasy football material on ESPN, I believe. And I'll be in for some of it, Mike Clay as well. And, of course, Matthew's awake for all of it because that's just nuts.
And we know it's heavy duty if you are not getting any of your sleep in advance.
Well, if we had a show tomorrow morning, I might be a little tired. But
I'm impressed.
I'd take a nap. At like,
you're hardcore here. You're ready to go. You're not taking any sort of morning naps. You're just, yeah.
I'm here, man.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm ready.
I'm staying up till 3. I'm taping it.
You're not doing that at all.
Actually, last night I did stay, or last year I stayed up way too late, way too late during it.
So we have some questions, and we probably should get to those. But we're on a tight time schedule here. Very tight. Kurt writes, in a shallow keeper league, Jose Abreu or Marcell Ozuna? That seems easy to me. Isn't it Abreu? He's not old. Every year, 30 and 100 with a decent batting average. I'm tired of Marcell Ozuna every other year. Last year, obviously, he was going to regress from that. This has to be Abreu.
I don't think it's as clear-cut as that, but I would also go with Abreu. I think it's close.
Neither are fantastic keepers, by the way, in a shallow keeper league. You could probably do better.
The thing is, though, Abreu's not lapping Ozuna. He's beating him on the player rated, but he's not lapping him.
I'm talking consistency year over year. Don't keep Ozuna just because Abreu is the first baseman.
You're right. He's been exceptional at that. There was that stat out there where he had met, I think it was the 290, 30, 100 threshold in each of the first three, and it might have even been four.
How many guys have done that each of the last three or four seasons? Every year, 290, 30, and 100.
He's one of three guys in history to do it in those first three major league seasons.
Oh, wow.
Along with Pujols and DiMaggio.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Pretty good guys, yeah. Yeah. No, I agree on the consistency here. I mean, I can make a case for Ozuna, but I think Abreu is the right answer.
There's only one right answer.
And you have it.
It's not Felix Pena. Jason Ace.
Oh, jeez. Watch him pitch a great game at Petco now.
He probably will. Jason Ace is getting sick of the saves category. And he's got saves in quotation marks, which I don't understand. It's a category, right? Why would you need quotation marks? All right, so getting sick of the category. Other than saves plus holds, what category would you recommend adding if we get rid of saves? For relief pitchers? I mean, I kind of like saves plus holds. I mean, it's flawed, of course, because both those categories are flawed, those statistics. But, I mean, you got to measure relief pitchers with something. Do you just use relief pitcher eligibility in K9? Could you do that?
I love K9.
What's Kenley Jansen in K9 among relievers? Like 100th? And it's like 10.1 is his K rate. When I was doing the research for that, I was like, man, he's... That K rate is just kind of average. Anyway, I'm okay with saves plus holds. I do not like saves alone. But I like holds because I think guys like David Robertson and now Brad Hand need to be rostered. Oh, there's some barbecue on TV.
I hate holds. Holds is too volatile.
Yes, that's barbecue.
They have the meats. I want that.
Yeah, Arby's not a proud sponsor of the
That's podcast, okay.
Wait. That's where we're going to go to get BBQ here. We're going to Arby's.
Where in bucolic Bristol? Where do you go?
Oh, man.
There actually is. Mike Clay does have a really nice barbecue.
He told me about
spot.
It last yeah. night.
I need to go there.
Yeah. I'm thinking of going tonight.
He needs to invite me.
Haven't we been there?
No.
Eric, you were there.
Oh, yeah. We went to that place, yes.
That's a different one?
Yeah, he's talking about a different place. The place we went to when we were up here for the
that was fantastic.
The football meetings
yeah.
the first week of May, which is, by the way, the last time I wore pants. I went 3 months without wearing pants. Bristol visits on the first week of May and the first week of August. I did not wear pants in the interim. I just want everybody.
Are we allowed to even say that on the show?
I'm doing whatever I want today.
shorts. You should be saying like shorts versus long pants. Clarify.
I'm not naked. Come on. I mean, look at the reads for today.
Well, okay.
Talking about hair loss and buns. All right. I need my MeUndies.
I mean, I'm still saying on that one before we go to the next one.
All right. Let's answer the question. Saves are fine. Saves plus holds is better. Relief pitcher K9 is probably the best.
You know what? You know what I want to see, actually, if we do get rid of the saves and the holds in this one and we do go to the K9s, one way to counteract this so people don't go all starters, why don't we create an appearance, a relief appearance minimum?
That seems boring. I'm yawning.
We have a starts or an innings minimum in rotisserie leagues. Why don't we have a relief appearances minimum?
Because why would you? Minimum, I guess.
Well, and then does Ryan Yarbrough and Yanni Chirinos become?
Yeah, Tampa Bay is breaking the system.
K9's not good enough there. K9 is not good enough for those two.
Well, if it's a deep enough league at some point, and also for, I don't know. Yeah, I mean you're right that would at least encourage you to not, because the problem with a lot of situations where you remove reliever specific categories is that then you just are not incentivized to ever have them. But I could see it. I mean, the thing that I came to mind first was K9, but I really wish that we could get the Gossage or whatever that 538 came up with as a stat in our game, because I feel like that does really epitomize like the goose egg or whatever they called it, like just an inning of good leverage pitching that results in your team having a better chance of winning. But we can't really, like, I guess we could do like a arbitrarily create the quality start equivalent for a reliever, like the Fuentes equivalent, right?
Sure.
We just have to give it like a good name, but
then the problem is there aren't enough Daisy Fuentes in a season from the leader to make that a category. It's a shame. Like fantasy extremely favors starting pitching. It's just the unfortunate nature of the game.
Gordon writes, do you think David Dahl's playing time is here to stay? A lot of home games down the stretch for Colorado, wondering if there is juice to be squeezed when it matters most. David Dahl, 24 years old, batted third in a recent game. So obviously Colorado likes him, even though they never want to play him or promote him. But he's healthy today. Colorado's on the road all this week, so this would not be a good week, right, aren't they? So this would not be a good week.
But they do play in an American League park for a chunk of those, which is going to give him a DH, which guarantees him playing time.
One would think. Do you like David Dahl? And they're clearly not going to see Carlos Gonzalez anytime soon. So even in these home games in September, who's to say that Dahl plays regularly?
I like the fact that they started him against a lefty yesterday, because that is a big change for them this season. I like the skill set. I like the fact that people have tempered their enthusiasm, but I still don't see every day at bats coming.
I don't either. But do you ever see a scenario where David Dahl is someone we talk about as like Tommy Pham, like a top 20 outfielder?
Absolutely. I see it down the road. But absolutely.
Would they roster Carlos Gonzalez next year or Matt Holliday? They have Ian Desmond because of the contract. But that's a sunk cost. I mean, you should play Dahl. You should play Ramel Tapia. I want to see Tapia play. It's ridiculous. Trade Charlie Blackmon.
Oh, jeez. I like Blackmon.
Imagine Blackman's numbers if he was like
starting
or Tampa Bay or something like that.
I mean, Gerardo Parra is taking a lot of at-bats here. I mean, like, that's not necessary.
They're just doing dumb things.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, that's what they're doing.
Like, Ryan McMahon is another great example of that.
Why is he not playing every day at first base?
Because you got Ian Desmond. You're paying him a lot, I guess.
That's ridiculous. Doug writes, Jameson Taillon has been a stable pitcher over the past 2 months. Is he a reliable pitcher I can count on for the playoffs? Should I consider moving him? Trade deadline passed in ESPN leagues.
Friday.
It was Friday.
Okay. Yeah, but obviously different leagues will have different settings. So
like in a league manager league, you can create no trade deadline, or you can make it September 20th.
Right.
Tell me all you think about Jameson Taillon. Are you in? Are you in on Taillon?
Yep, totally. All in.
Could he be a top 20 starting pitcher at some point?
I could absolutely see that he has the stuff for it. The K rate is not quite to the level I can give him. I can't tout him as that right now, but he's close. To the point about the workload. I think the workload is what's being questioned here. Last year, 147 and two-thirds innings. He's at 134 so far with a pace of 182. That's not an extreme bump, but I do wonder whether the Pirates might skip a start or two in September.
They're not going to skip any starts if they're in the playoff race.
Do you think they'll still be in the playoff race?
So you're saying you hate the Pirates?
I don't hate them. I just I don't think.
See how that escalated quickly?
I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they'll be in the playoffs. So I think come the final week or so they'll.
Why does every fantasy writer hate every team? Why do you hate my team, Tristan?
We're out to get you. The Phillies are going to finish in last.
Well, that's not going to happen. But I mean, I still see them as the like the best percentage odds to win the division, and I keep thinking.
I don't think the percentages
mess.
Have them there.
No, they do.
They do. It's the likely winner.
Yeah, yeah. Prospectus still has that, or Fangraphs, or both. I don't know. Saw it last night. I mean, yeah, they keep losing the bad teams, but they're still good.
Yeah, Fangraphs 46% to win the division, 62% to make the playoffs.
Leo, didn't you have something like the Nationals at a 40% chance of winning the division?
It's 21 right now, according to Fangraphs.
I mean, their bullpen is a problem, Tristan.
Well, yeah.
And the only guy coming back to help their team really is Strasburg, and that's still not going to be – that's not this week, right?
It could be. I'm not counting on it.
Like, what do you even expect from Steven Strasburg the rest of the season? When we should left six?
Lights. That's one where you want to make me answer the light switch. That's the light switch. He's going to be great or he's going to be not a contributor one bit.
Steven Strasburg versus Felix Pena. Who you got?
Strasburg. He said, come on. Today's
National Left-Handers Day, and I'm left-handed. So how about that?
There we go.
Today's my day. Are you bowling? What did I see you and Kyle doing on Twitter about bowling?
Yeah, we're so disappointed. Nobody came up with a game better than Kyle's 257. It was National Bowling Day on Saturday,
and you bowled
Kyle
a perfect
challenged.
Game. Didn't you tell me you bowled a perfect game once?
No, Brostat did. Two perfect games.
Okay, it's a little weird you're calling him that.
What? He's my brother.
So call him that.
Okay, my brother bowled two perfect games.
What are you and wife of Stat having for dinner tonight? I mean, really, what are your children of Stat doing today?
Clearly, I'm having dinner of Stat tonight.
Okay. That's probably time to stop. Do you have anything else you want to say? Really? Is this it?
You can wrap it for me. I got nothing to say. I've said too much.
You probably said too much. Well, that was a fun show. Despite the yawning, you know, and the silliness and all the things and deciding what barbecue is, that was a fun show. Now, I don't know the next time I will be in Bucolic Bristol. Maybe never. But it was fun to do it. Tristan, have an awesome day. Really have an awesome day. And you better be watching at 3 a.m. when I'm yawning
you know
and talking about Alvin Kamara.
You know I will.
Or whatever we're talking about at 3 a.m. Anyway, it's a big day in fantasy football, so get into the mock drafts and then watch 29 hours of coverage. And we'll be back for fantasy baseball, I believe, on Thursday morning. Have an awesome couple of days.
Everything is awesome.
No sleep for Eric.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.